I'd like to say good morning to everybody out there on the airwaves. My name is Peter Chavarria. I'm from Stockton, California, and I guess I'm your master of ceremonies here this morning at Valley Springs at Church of God Faithful Flock Services. So I'm going to be your song leader this morning, and I hope you're having a good day where you are. We had a lot of fog coming up here, slowed us down a little bit, but we got up here, and now we got nice, bright sunshine. Maybe I'll move up here. Okay, with that, brethren, take your hymnals and stand. Let's go to page number 40 for our first hymn. Give thanks and offer praise. Page 40. Let's go to page 19 for our next hymn. Page 19, the Lord is my shepherd.
Comforter here, no harm can be
good, brethren. I need to practice. Let's go to page number 23 for our third hymn, after which Mr. Jack Hansen, one of our deacons, will come up for the opening prayer. What did I say? 23. 23. My eyes have seen the... What? Brethren, please remain standing for the opening prayer by one of our deacons, Mr. Jack Hansen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we, the people standing before you now, are truly blessed. We have been pulled into this church, and we live together, work together, pray together. Father, we thank you so very much for that. We ask you to be with the leaders and their families, keep them all safe and healthy. We also ask that you continue to guide the direction of this church. We ask that the people scattered about listening in are receiving this message clear and bright today. Father, some of us are blessed to live up in the Sierras, so we enjoy sunny days every day. Father, we ask these blessings from you, and we thank you very much through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated, brethren. Now it's time for the first message this morning. And the first message this morning is going to be given by one of our other deacons, Mr. Joe Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Chavarria, and hello, everyone. And it's clear almost every day up here in the Sierras, and it is beautiful up here. Oh, today I'm going to talk about the work of God, which is the title, and how it is progressing. First, I'm going to cover a little bit about the websites. And then I'll cover the broadcast. To the many websites, the work and voice of our shepherd is still being heard. I printed off last night about the summary of our web, the COGFF website. And so far this month, we're averaging, as of yesterday, we were averaging 999 visits a day. Now, last month, we averaged 1,113 visits a day, and in November we had 1,243 visits a day. So it's getting up there, and it's for the total of the year we've had 317,313 visits to our website, and hits we've had 12,665,590 hits. That's where somebody just goes by and don't stop, but they come by and look at it and go on, I guess. But it's really it's growing, this little thing. We're getting out to the world. Let's see now. The Church of God Homeschool, which is another one of our big ones. I didn't get all of them out, but it's Church of God Homeschool. It's averaging 340 visits a day. And for the year, it's had, on the other page, here we go. It's had 106,114 visits to the website this year, for the past year. So it's growing. And then that's the Church of God Homeschool. And then, Church of God Web, the Faithful Flock, I'm just a few of the countries. Because it's, and our number one in both the magazine, which I'll give to you in a minute, and the website, the number one country, besides the ones here in the United States, is Russia. And there's a lot of people there in Russia, and I wouldn't have thought. But Russia's number one, Canada's number two, Australia's number three, France is number four, South Africa's number five, then Mexico number six, then it goes on down, Germany, Netherlands, England, Vietnam, Turkey, Sweden, Belgium, Argentina, Finland, Indonesia, Colombia. There's just a lot of, all over the world, they're coming into our website. Now, the Philadelphia Remnant magazine, you think about that, or not, with a few copies we put out, but we have, Philadelphia Remnant magazine, we had, we're having 855 hits a day. No, I mean, that's just one country. Well, I didn't print out the whole, I printed out the wrong one. Anyhow, that's all right. But where the countries that get in the magazine, again, is Russia, Canada, Cyprus, South Africa, Mexico, Israel, Japan, France, Seychelles, Germany, Ukraine, Singapore, Finland, and Poland. That's some of the countries that are getting that. So it's going around between the website, Church of God, between homeschool and the magazine. And the magazine being read around the world when you think of it like that. It's exciting when you think of this. And here I printed off, we haven't got it yet, but the print off the new magazine, I just print off so that I get it so I can look at it and read it. And think of this little thing, it's going around the world. This little thing of ours. Yeah. So now I'm going to cover, I've covered the few facts about the webcast, and they really are. They're going around the world. And that's one of our one prong we have to get the work out. And the other one now is internet radio. And we're on to one station. Thank you. Jamie came back last week and helped me. And we're got on now. We're getting online to internet radio. And I know some people have talked about it. I'm going to cover very slowly today about how to get on live 365 radio. I have a picture here of the screen, and I'm going to go through that one slowly because it's can give you some of the things. You can see this on camera. That's how you'll see the picture when it comes up. There, Jamie can clear up a little bit. So you, online you can see that because you've got computers and you'll be the one that'll be looking at it anyway. You people on the telephone, you'll just have to keep listening to us the old-fashioned way. But on the right upper right-hand corner, it has a magnifying glass. And what you do when it comes up, you open it up, and it'll, first of all, it'll come on and it'll say, you're free. You type in free live 365. To do a search on that, free live 365, because and then they'll come up and they'll say, well, now you want VIP. No, you don't want VIP. You have to pay for that. And it's so just go in, sign up, and then say download the free, and then a picture will pop up and up in the upper right hand corner of the magnifying glass for search. And then you just type in COGFF. And then that'll bring you over to Mr. Armstrong, and it'll come up, COGFF, Herbert W. Armstrong. Got a little picture of him. Thank to Mr. Billingsley. I tried to figure out what picture I could put on there, and I said, one Mr. Armstrong. He said, well, no, just go do a search, Herbert W. Armstrong image. So I found this and did a little cut of his picture, and it's just a really, it's a peaceful-looking picture that I have of him, I think, Mr. Armstrong. Anyhow, you give the search, you come into it, then you come over down to the left-hand side, you'll see this Live 365, and right above his head, first of all, you have to get one of COGFF in the middle, and you click on that, and then it'll bring it over to the little staying here for the broadcast, and then right above his head is a plus sign. You get that plus sign, you click on that, and that will bookmark the radio station that you your choice. You want that. And that's another reason. And then to the right of that is a star. As soon as it starts playing, click on the star, and the five stars come up. Click on the right-hand star, exceptional. You click on that, and the more people that click on this star and onto the and bookmark the website, it's the higher up it'll be in our choices. But I'll get into that in a little bit, because it's I went on to one and just under Armstrong, and I said, let me get down to that. Got to Armstrong. And that's not my cell phone, folks. That's not my cell phone. Somebody's cell phone doing that. Mine, every once in a while, I'll try to call in to see how the sound's coming out to you folks. Nope, it's coming out good. But it's go on talk, and then you'll... Our station name is station title, and it's you do that for your preset. I said bookmark. It's actually called preset. You select that as your preset, and then that'll be good. And then Church God, Faithful Flock, Herb W. Armstrong in Valley Springs, California. And then related stations. Now, I thought this was kind of humorous, some of the related stations. So first one, naturally, COGFF, Herb W. Armstrong. The second related station is Elijah Streams. Next is Old Christian Radio. Next is 99.1 Joy FM, St. Louis. The next is Church Beat Radio. Different one. They're like, what's that got to do with... But anyhow, another is Stop Divorce Radio. That's in the same genre, which is ours. Here's Sacred Chorale Music. Life Talk Kids. Down here is one I thought, Church Mouse Radio. I'm like, what has COGFF got to do with Church Mouse Radio? I just some of the, I thought it was kind of humorous to see all these. But you're going to get all that, and as you type on there, and you click on there, you're going to get an advertisement. The pop-up, the first one that usually popped up is, well, mine was, first was Red Cross, and then the next one popped up was advertising Live 365 because they want you to sign up for VIP, because that's how they make money. And then you'll get a little pop over on the right-hand side, you'll get advertisements because we're not, we're in the free side, and you'll have to put up the advertisements, but it's, I just ignore them. And but it's the VIP that you don't have any advertisement with that. But it's, again, go in, come up, free Live 365, click on that. Then when it comes up, then go into COGFF, and then when you preset the radio station, it'll automatically come to that every time you book in, log into Live 365. And I put that as one of my favorites. And let's see, broadcast community. The total live level generies, that's how they talk about music. We had alternative, folk, Latin, or reggae. And underneath one of these, alternative, I was thinking about, I put in, first of all, for hours, I marked it as inspirational. I put it down as talk. And inspirational talk. I forget what the other one was. But anyhow, it's they're in there. But if the, and so I have COGFF Herbert W. Armstrong. And it's we have now 68 of Mr. Armstrong's broadcasts on there. 68. So it's 30 some hours of continuous listening. It doesn't repeat itself until it goes all the way through. And so you have plenty of... I have it on when I'm working on a computer, but he's right there talking to me. So now here I went through, I preset my stations, and then it goes alphabetical order. Here's some of them that I preset before I had Mr. Armstrong on there. I had accordion radio. I like listening to accordion. I have Celtic Quest. I have Irish Music by Jim Larkin. And I have Pioneers of Country. An old-time thriller, you know, the old radio program, they're on there. But I had that's something I bookmarked before we had Mr. Armstrong on there. But it's just, again, the station name is Church of God, Faithful Flock, Herbert W. Armstrong, Valley Springs, California. And then, let's see, that's it. Here we go. If you type in COG into that selection, just COG, under, newest stations, type in that in. Number one is Atomic Radio. This one, Atomic Radio. And it plays punk, rockabilly, and surf. I have a clue what surf is. That's the type of genre it has. And then Church of God, Faithful Flock. If you type in Armstrong, I thought, well, that'll come up right quick. No, it's a music. This is music. So now who's the number one Armstrong in music? You're right, Louis Armstrong. And so we're on page 20. There's 15 to a page. We're on page 23, towards the bottom of page 23, before we are. And I went through all the way to find it, because Armstrong, C to C, and it was there. It's on page 23. And then brings our station up. Page 4. Under alphabetical, we're on page 4 if you type in alphabetical. That's what, just regular, we're on page 4. And then, like I said, on page 1 under newest stations, we're the second one down under Atomic Radio. But seriously considering these things we're now rapidly seeing take place. Now, we get Mr. Armstrong, it's going out, and it's the same one I play Friday night. How strong those are. They're out there, and it's out for the people to see. And people say, well, how are they going to find a note to come to COGFF? First time any of you ever heard Mr. Armstrong, were you looking for Mr. Armstrong? I don't think any of us were looking for Mr. Armstrong. It just happened to go by. Oh, what was that? Oh, let me go back. God will have to lead people to this. It's there. I know Mr. Armstrong there, he was advertising in the Wall Street Journal, things like this, but forget it. But it's when people, God wants you to hear it, you'll get it. You'll get it. Let's see. By seriously considering these things we are now rapidly seeing take place on the world stage, we have to realize how close to the end we're getting. It is getting so close. And like I said here, please pray that God will lead all of His chosen people out to where they can find real shelter. It is our responsibility to pray for all of God's people, no matter where they are. And I talked to brethren over in Kenya. I was talking to them this week, and they're having problems over there. They're having problems. And the little bit of remnant we had working with them, they really... Now they're having lots of problems. But we must realize that these are the most trying and crucial days. This is the most trying in Earth's history. This is it right now. And, you know, and Satan's going to do everything he can to keep our mind off of it. We have to. And I was thinking about, a little insight here, about self-control. Did we ever have a sermon or anything on self-control? Probably did over the years, but that's something. I'm going to do a little research on self-control. How do you work on mental self-control? Because you go along, I'll be thinking about this, and all of a sudden my mind over here somewhere. So I'm going to look into that, mental self-control. Because this is the most crucial days in Earth's history and for this great closing work of God since it began. You know, and we're going 3 million people plus on Live 365. I don't know. What else I put in here? I'll get on down to that in a minute, but to work. So I had to have a scripture in this. I had to have a scripture in a sermonette. So I took Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards His name. And this is all of us. We're here for a labor of love. This is our work. You're praying for it. You're supporting it. This is our labor of love. And then... James 1:25-26, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what we do. It says he, what we do. So So in conclusion, my friends, if you have a computer, and those of you at all on the phone, if you can get a computer, they've really... I have a love-hate relationship with mine, but they do a lot of work. There's so much information that's available on our websites, and I don't know exactly how much info is available on our websites. I put down tens of thousands of hours. If you went through everything on our websites, everything, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of hours you could say that's on there going through it. And we have the Bible study on Friday evenings, Sabbath service today, and now Live 365 with Mr. Armstrong's radio broadcast. And like I said, currently we have 68 of his broadcasts, World Tomorrow broadcast, on there. And I plan on having 100 and then leave them on there for a while. And then I'll have another 100 and then we'll rotate them. I'd like to have 100 of them. That gives you almost 40 hours of continuous listening. And that way, if you come on, we'll say 8 o'clock every morning, the likelihood of hearing the same one twice right away would be very difficult. So this work, even though we're small in number, we're available to, I don't know, 1, 2, 3 billion people with computers. This work is worldwide. If God wants someone to listen or read the works of Mr. Armstrong, they will. So, brethren, it's now up to us to pray for this work. Pray that God calls workers. We need workers. We need people with younger, more pliable brains to work with some of this stuff. Because like Jane had come over to help me. Because like I told Mr. Billingsley, I said, I'm swimming in deep water and I don't know how to swim. And let's see. But God needs workers for this final end time push. And pray that all of us stay focused as things continue to collapse in the world.
Thank you, Mr. Duncan, for that information. Very good. Okay, brethren, if you're ready. I'm not, because I don't have my glasses on. Now I do. If you're ready, brethren, take your hymnals and stand, and let's go to page number 27 for our next hymn. Page 27, Turn Thou From Evil. 27. Okay. Okay, I got it. Turn Thou From Evil. Turn thou from evil, do what's good. Seek peace, pursue what's sweet. Upon the just are the eyes of God. His is the offering unto the Christ. What the message this morning here in Valley Springs, California, at Church of God Services is one of our other deacons, Mr. Jerry Fields.
Thank you, Mr. Chavarria. As always, Mr. Chavarria makes the opening portion of the service is very interesting, and we look forward to seeing and listening to him every week. But he's much appreciated, very much appreciated, as I appreciated that sermonette. A lot of information, a few things I didn't know, but I thought it was fascinating, and so I enjoyed that, Mr. Duncan. And he's talking about praying for more laborers to come to the work. Because we have, as being here now and what we have here, we are laborers, and we have our parts to do. And that is, especially when I get up early Saturday morning, is pray for those who will be speaking, sermonette and sermon, that God will inspire the speaking and inspire the people that we can hear and understand and gain. Well, going on into announcements, we do have several prayer requests, so I'll just go through the list here. And the one here at the beginning is Mrs. Duncan, Mr. Duncan's wife, is having some lower back pain, and she's requested prayers for God to relieve that back pain and take care of her. John Pierce of Louisiana requests prayers for John, who has a bleeding in his intestines. So very serious. So remember John Pierce, and that God will intervene and take care of him. Mr. Simmons in Australia. Mr. and Mrs. Simmons, very, very pleasant, very nice couple who I met a few years ago when I was in Australia for the feast, and made quite an impression on me, the Simmons. Very nice people. They live kind of out away from the big cities. I know where they live, they collect the rainwater off their roof, so they can have water through the summer months. And they're just a very outgoing, a very nice couple. Also, others remember the requested prayers in the past, Mrs. Clark, Mrs. Hudson, remember Ed Luckish, Sue Hertz, Mr. Wolf, Mr. Nick Lowenson's sister-in-law, very, very ill. So that's our part as being laborers, is praying for the people and asking God to intervene and pray. That takes care of the announcements today. We will have a sermon brought to us today by our pastor, Mr. Don Billingsley. But first we'll have special music. And the title is Remember Your Creator. And when I asked if it was a musical or a vocal, he said it was both. So we will have Remember Your Creator, a musical vocal. We'll listen to that, and then we'll have the sermon by Mr. Don Billingsley.
Before your ears are calling, eyes closing. Good morning, everybody. All of you are viewing us, listening in. Appreciate you being with us. Great Bible study again last night. Good news portion and all. And really appreciate Mr. Mendiola and his talent and all of his ability to be able to analyze the news and be able to present it in a way that is very informative, something we need to take heed of. They work long, long hours to get the magazine together. They were up to about 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning, a couple nights or more. And so certainly they are real laborers in the harvest. And I got a note from this morning that said they were able to get a good night rest and sleep last night. So anyway, it is on the computer. And so I got a note from Sam Scott this morning saying that was the best one yet. So anyway, it's good to people reading and all. And I had some good comments about the in remembrance of the about Mr. Armstrong's anniversary of his death, and I appreciated that. In fact, I got a note from a lady in Belgium. I learned something this week. Like Joe says, you know, a computer, you have a love and a hate relationship with them. But anyway, she wrote me in French. And so I thought about that. So I happened to hit the right button, translator. So then I was able to go to a portion there. You can have Google or the, it's the other one, trying to get it back in my mind. But anyway, I then copied it and put it into that area, her message. And then I've had it to translate it from French into English. And so I had it. And also you can push another button, speak, and it speaks it to you. And so anyway, I had Peggy to come in and had her to listen and all that. So she's written me 2 or 3 times. She's been 40 years in the church or better and been through some real times like we have. Sandra is her first name. I'm not sure the last. And anyway, like she says, her English isn't the greatest. But she wanted the password and all that, so she's probably listening in today. So if you are Sandra, we appreciate very, very much that you are listening to us. Same as Steve Boku. Thank you very much. I picked up a few words in French, but not enough to count, just enough to get myself in trouble. As I did with German, a little bit of that, enough to get myself in trouble there, too. So, anyway, it was good to be able to chat with her, and she wrote back again yesterday and about the password and all to be able to go online with us. So it's very good to see that Penn, she offered, any way I can help, well, I'll be glad to do that. So I wrote back saying that maybe with other people coming in, it may be of great help to us. So anyway, we appreciate that. Now if somebody writes me in whatever language, I can take care of it. I can respond. I don't have to send something to Lenny and Angie now, or somebody else in Spanish. Somebody writes to me, and now I can translate it. So that's very, very good. I like that very much. The hate part of the relationship is, well, I'll talk to you about that later, I guess. But that's, you know, you learn something almost every day if you just, like my granddaughter, to learn to do something, you just have to keep pushing buttons. Yeah, I happened to hit the wrong one this morning. Well, anyway. Oh, yes, I did want to mention, too, I did get a call from Mr. Simmons the other day, and anyway, talking about the flood and all there, it's not bothering him that much. It's right up to the doorstep, I guess, to a degree, been up by the way by three times in the past years. But anyway, he said recently he's having a real problem with soreness in his neck. And so he would wanted me to send him anointed cloth, which I did. It's nice chatting with him. They're like Jerry Peel said, they're very, very fine. Very fine people. From the Bible Story, Volume 1, Basil Wolverton, which probably many of you haven't read in a long, long, long time. And I quote, in the beginning, question, Mr. Wolverton asked, wouldn't you like to be whisked back into long ago and see some of the amazing things that happened before the earth came to be the way it is now? And wouldn't you like to learn about who lived on this planet long before men lived here? And how and why you came to be here? I had somebody send me a cartoon a couple of days ago. See, who was it sent that to me? And wonder whether or not Mr. Armstrong got his inspiration from writing the booklet about why you were born from that. It was peanuts. And he was asking a question, why am I here? Why was I born? What's my purpose? And I'd never seen that cartoon before, but it had all the questions there that normally people would ask. But I've often wondered and been intrigued about the pre-Adamic world. How many of you have ever wondered? Huh? Okay, a few of you have, yeah. Wondered about that. Well, we'll be talking a little bit about that today along with other things. So as he said, in the beginning, God, he had to be there first or there would have been nothing. He and our Savior Jesus Christ, they had to be there in the beginning. And you can go over to the, in Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God, that is Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. Then you have to go to John, as Mr. Armstrong always did, and we hear that repeated. The hate relationship that I have with my computer is that somehow it cut out virtually all of my sermon this morning. But I had printed it out last night and put in a lot of notes, so I just have to work through those. You know, you have save up there, and right above it is cut. And I must have hit cut. That's the only thing I've figured out. Anyway, John, coming back to John, the first chapter. In the beginning, this was the real beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is before anything else ever existed. No angelic world, no physical universe, just God. And the Word, the Logos, as it is in the Greek. Eternal was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. In Him was life. And that's what we have to think about in regard to all life that came into existence. Colossians adds to that. Colossians 1, verses 15 and 16. Colossians 1, verses 15 and 16. He, that is Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulers, principalities, meaning authorities or rulers. All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things exist. They're held together, as you find in Hebrews, which I won't turn to, Hebrews 1, verses 2 and 3. All things consist. They're held together. Now, before Elohim created the universe with the planet Earth, he first created the angelic world. You know, how much time there was in between? We don't know. Now, scientists estimate that anywhere from 3 to about 14 billion of years ago, that this physical universe came into existence. And they're probably within that number, no one really knows. Only God in heaven himself. But he first created the angelic world, and perhaps only millions to begin with, and I couldn't help but wonder and think about that. Maybe it's only millions to begin with, but when with the expansion, the continued population of human beings, I wonder if God did not continue to create angels. That's speculation. In other words, to match every human being that's on the face of this earth. Today we have 7 billion, almost 7 billion people on earth. And if time were to go on, which is not going to go that far, but by 2050, the prediction is it'll be 9 billion of people. Now, we know how crowded things are today. All you have to do is go to Stockton, go to Modesto, go to any city of any size, and you're in traffic up to your ears, so to speak. Might use that expression. But today, I'm taking you on a journey back into time, billions of years ago, to view with the mind through Scripture and history a world that once existed and become extinct. Genesis 1 and verse 2 tells us, now the earth was unformed. Now this is after verse 1 where God had created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was unformed, that is, it became unformed, and we'll find out the reason for that as we go along, and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, meaning the abyss, a bottomless, well, as you would say, a pit, or beyond that, to the bottom or wherever. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. So to begin with, we need to understand why and how it disappeared from the face of the earth. A mysterious past age that once existed and perished because of one reason, sin. And that's really my subject today, is the horrible consequences of sin, and we're going to see that through this sermon today. The horrible consequences of sin. Sin that took our Savior Jesus Christ's life. And because of it, because of sin, we understand why we have to be tested, tried, and purified before Christ will accept us at His coming. No unrighteousness will enter His world. So that world was extinct because of sin, just as Noah's world perished by drowning in a worldwide flood. And Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by fire from heaven. I want to go back and look at just a little bit of that to get it into context, even though we've read it many times. Back to Genesis. Genesis, the 6th chapter. And we can see God's grief and the fact that He was very, very sorry that He had to do what He did to that world because of the enormity of sin. Now it came to pass, verse 1, when men began to multiply, meaning there was a population explosion like we're seeing today. A population explosion, it really began to develop back just a few short years ago. And then we come on down and verse 3, after seeing some of the problems that were there, regard to wrong marriages, other things were taking place. And the Eternal said, verse 3, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So from that time to the end of that, from the beginning to the end of that, it was all that mankind would have, an opportunity for repentance so that we wouldn't have to be destroyed. And coming on down, verse 5, Then the Eternal saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, I ask you, what do you see in the world about us today? Now, we'll go just a little bit further. And the Eternal was sorry. He was sorry he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved. He was very sorry. Grieved in his heart. So the Eternal said, I will destroy a man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made him. Then you find here, verse 13, and God said to Noah, righteous Noah, the end of all flesh is come upon me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, I take this doctrine record. I imagine all of you out in your, wherever you live, you probably take a major newspaper as well. And if you read yours, like I look at mine, and that's all I see, basically, is crime after crime, murder after murder. Whatever, it's just filled with it. Now, we visited Washington, D.C. back in 1965. And we wanted to go and visit, which they permitted groups to go into the White House. And so we found a parking place, and there was an ice cream vendor fellow there, and he came over and he said, look, if you've got anything showing your car at all, you better put it in the trunk, because somebody's going to steal it. Somebody's going to steal it. And it was said that the newspaper there, the crimes, it's just like ads in the newspaper, just one right after the other. So our world today is just like the world at that time, and it's progressively getting worse. That's why God found one man, just one man, that was righteous. And because of his righteousness, God saved his immediate family. Eight people in all. Now then, we go forward, and we're going to look here in Genesis 19. Genesis 19, just briefly, we find another example here, and we'll touch on this toward the conclusion of this sermon today. And this we find here after God had visited with Abraham, and he told Abraham what he was going to do, and that is he was sending the angels to Sodom to find out if what had been told by angels, the seven living spirits that go throughout the earth, undoubtedly through them, as to what, if that were, really that bad in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so then Abraham pleaded with God, would you destroy all of them for the sake of 50 righteous? And came on all the way down to 10. Would you spare them if there are 10 righteous people? And God says, yes, he would. So there were not 10 people. Only Lot. You read about Lot, righteous Lot. Righteous Lot. He was the only one. And you can read about that I'll go ahead with it right now. In Second Peter. And turning the cities, verse 5, and did not spare the ancient world, but save Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. So he taught righteousness, bringing the flood on the world ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example of those who after would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. So we see already to three different areas of time how God had to intervene and destroy because of the terribleness of sin. Now we find that in Genesis 6, verses 1 through 17, let me see, now I did go to that, want that. Well, I didn't put my note in here anyway, but well, then we come to the angelic world. We come to first of all, I'm going to come on down, though, and I'm going to pick up with Ezekiel 28, and we're going to find out what happened here in regard to that world that led to the destruction of what took place later on. Ezekiel 28. And here we'll go to Ezekiel 28, verses 11 to 15. Now you have an introduction to the king of Tyrus and companion of Babel. Here we have a supernatural being addressed, he of whom the prince of Tyre was only a type. He was using that prince as one of his agents to secure the description of the king, the anti-type. So when we read about what we begin here in verse 11, it's speaking about Lucifer. Lucifer, who was a morning star and was the supreme creation of God. So I'll be reading from my notes here. Thus says the Eternal God, you were the seal. In other words, that God couldn't, apparently would have not created anything any greater than him. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes made the symbol, or symbolic of beautiful music, great genius and skill in music was created in him. Was created in you on the day you were created. So God created him at one particular time, just like he did Adam, and he created him the way that he came to be. You were the anointed cherub who covers with his outstretched wings, and the beginning, that is, for perhaps many, many years, covering the throne of God. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your days from the day you were created till iniquity, and the Hebrew word for that is perversity, till perversity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, or your merchandise, as the older King James Version has, which means traffic, are going about, as in verse 13. It is meant slanderer in a moral sense. You became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed, and the Hebrew word there is annul, or removed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. And how many times has that happened with mankind? They get so elevated by their own intelligence, maybe good looks, or some prominent position or whatever, to where they're untouchable. How many times has that happened with mankind? And it all had its beginning right here with Satan, the devil, Lucifer, who came to be the adversary. And another prophet we learned about is being cast out of heaven, or from historical evidence that exists today, the destruction that took place with his being cast out. Isaiah the 14th chapter. Isaiah 14 verses 12 to 15. Isaiah 14 verses 12 to 15. Give you a minute to get there. How are you fallen from heaven, O day star? Son of the morning. And I was thinking about that, you know, when you go out and you see the early in the morning, you see that bright morning star. I mean, it's so bright, so much brighter than all the other. Well, Lucifer is no longer the morning star. The Church of God is the morning star. It shines so much brighter than all of the stars in heaven. Of course, we can go to the Revelation 2, I think it is, and it speaks of that in one of the church eras. Going on here. And you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven above the stars of God. Will I exalt my throne? In other words, it's going to be greater, higher than the Most High. I will be like the Most High, that is above Him. And yet God says, yet you shall be brought down to the netherworld and a world of darkness, to the uttermost parts of the abyss. Now Satan did not go quietly. I think you'll see that too. Some of the historical evidence that I have here. It's interesting that Jesus said in Luke the 10th chapter, verse 18, and he, that is Christ, said to his disciples, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So he was cast down to this earth. So like a spoiled child, angry, throwing his toys and everything else. So this is more or less like Satan and what he did. Now the duality form, the Apostle John gives us in type what took place with Lucifer, now the adversary who was cast out. There was great warfare between God's faithful angels and Satan's angels. And so here it is in type, Revelation 12, verses 3 and 4. A fiery gray, a red dragon, his tail drew or had drawn a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That's verses 3 and 4 of Revelation 12. And you could connect together with that, although this is at a later time, but nevertheless, it's the same thing that took place then. Revelation 12, verses 7 through 9. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil, slanderer, and Satan, meaning adversary, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So there's the first time, and then, of course, that second time that perhaps has already happened in our time. Now then, we'll go further and take an overview here from Bible Story, pages 5 and 6, from Mr. Warburton. Whenever God's laws are broken, suffering, trouble, and destruction are bound to follow. During the great battle when Satan and his demons tried to conquer God, an immense change came over the earth, as we found in Genesis 1, verse 2. What had been a beautiful planet had been turned into a cosmic wreck, because Lucifer rebelled, that is, he sinned against his Maker. The atmosphere was filled with smoke and poisonous gases so thick that nothing could live in it. The raging elements pounded the earth. Little or no physical life could survive through that terrible time. The only living beings left on the planet were the evil spirit demons whose law-breaking had broken perfect balance, harmony, and beauty of a world God had lovingly created for His creatures. For a time, our world stayed buried in a deep blanket of gases, smoke, and water. Oceans covered the whole earth. There was no longer any dry land. And that's what we find in Genesis 1, verse 2. The atmosphere was so clogged with clouds of tiny bits of matter that no light could reach the seas. We don't know how long this condition lasted, but later came the time when God started preparing for a very important event in His great plan. End of the quote from Mr. Wolverton. As I stated a little earlier, I doubt that very few people have ever really wondered about the mysterious past ages that Scripture only highlights with very little detail. Normally, people never get past the first, that is, the recreation found in Genesis 1 and 2. But trying to peer into a world that existed and perished before the creation of Adam and Eve, This estate has intrigued me for many years, and wanting to understand. Still, I have a question in my mind as to why God created the kind of world that He had there, the reptilian world and all that. But it would seem, in thinking about that, that God created it and destroyed it as a gigantic type, you might say, of what it's going to come to be and what has happened since then with others in ages to come, all because of sin. Geologists have discovered this earth to have been populated with huge creatures, a reptilian world, dinosaurs of different kinds, saber-toothed tigers, etc. Giant creatures roamed the land. Huge flying creatures ruled the skies. And a variety of smaller creatures populated the earth and the seas. Mysteries of the past have been unearthed by fossil, and you know what a fossil is any hardened remains or imprints of plants or animal life. Mysteries of the past have been unearthed by fossil hunters around the world and have discovered dinosaur bones, eggs, and trackways. Discoveries have been made in places such as Alberta, Montana, Mongolia, Brazil, New Zealand, Argentina, Tanzania, and the beginning of these discoveries took place in England. How many of you have ever visited Rancho Los Angeles? The asphalt tar pits. Any of you? I took students there back in the 50s from the Imperial School and over to see that. This is a small part of a asphalt area called tar pits is referred to. They covered a long, long distance. But in this, they covered it, which I'll go ahead and read some of this. In fact, I'll just go ahead now. Now, I'm taking this from a book called Earth in Upheaval. It's written by Emmanuel Belakovsky. Some of you have heard that if you've been around a long time. Pages 64 through 68, I'll be taking excerpts from it. At Rancho La Brea, once on the western outskirts of Los Angeles and at present in the immediate neighborhood of a luxurious shopping center of that city, bones of extinct animals and of still living species are found in abundance in asphalt mixed with clay and sand. Most spectacular among the animals found at Rancho Los Angeles is the saber-toothed tiger, previously known elsewhere in the New or Old World, but found since in other places too. The canine teeth of the saber-toothed tiger was over 10 inches. 10 inches long and projected from its mouth like two curved knives. Maybe you can see a picture that I have here. In La Brea Tar Pit in Rancho Los Angeles, no fewer than 700 skulls of the saber-toothed tiger have been found. Among other animals unearthed in this pit were bison, horses, camels, sloths, mammoths, mastodons, also birds, including peacocks. The vast majority were carnivorous, meaning meat-eating animals. Predator versus prey, just like it is today. Page 67, skeletal remains of animals found in Sioux County, Nebraska. A head not unlike a horse, but with heavy legs and claws like that of a carnivorous animal, and also bones of a giant swine, hog, that stood 6 feet tall. Can you imagine meeting one of those? And you know those big tusks? Can you imagine what they would look like when you look at a saber-toothed tiger? All these have been unearthed. Page 69. In Germany, a gravel pit near Berlin disclosed mammoth, tusk, ox, reindeer, arctic fox, lion, hyena, bison, ox, and two species of elephant. Page 68. Tens of thousands of animals were carried over an unknown distance, then smashed into a common grave. Smashed at one time. Page 69. Great multitudes of animals that fill prairies and harvest, forest, water, and air forms, fragile or sturdy, with an urge to live and multiply, some were more than once suddenly called upon to write their names in a register of extinction. Chapter 6, Mountains and Rifts, pages 70 to 71. To the surprise of many scientists, it was found that mountains have traveled. Can you imagine that? Mountains traveling? Since older formations have been pushed over on top of younger ones. Titanic displacement of mountains have been found in many places on the earth. The displacement of the Alps is especially extensive. During the building of the Alps, gigantic slabs of rock, thousands of feet thick, hundreds of miles long, and tens of miles wide, were thrust up and then over relatively to the rocks beneath. Can you imagine the power that's Lucifer had been given, Satan? And they fight against Michael and his angels. The visible rocks of the northern Alps of Switzerland have thus been shoved northward distances of the order of 100 miles. The idea of mountains traveling considerable distances must sound even more fantastic, unless we know of a physical cause that could have brought it about. Yes, there had to be a cause. There had to be a cause to bring it about. Page 72. Question. What could have caused these mountains to travel across valleys and uphill with the masses of granite weighing billions of tons? No force acting from inside the earth, pulling inward or pushing outward, could have created these overthrusts. Only twisting could have produced them. It could hardly have occurred if the rotation and revolution of our planet had never been disturbed. Page 26 and 92. Again, the question, what kind of force is necessary to tear apart a continent? What kind of a force? That's something we just don't really grasp. We're human beings. Our powers are limited. But you think of the spirit world. Awesome power. And Satan was the epitome. He was the epic. He was the seal of the perfection that God had made and placed over all the angels here on this earth. Page 102. Lava flowed under the water of the ocean, and the water must have boiled. Meteorites, ashes, and cosmic dust fell from the sky. Land was submerged thousands of fathoms deep, and beaches sank underwater over 3 miles into the depths. In July 1947, a Swedish deep-sea expedition on a three-month journey around the world to investigate the bottom of the seas, and they found in the sediment that covers the rocky bottom of the oceans, they found evidence of great catastrophes that have altered the face of the earth. Great catastrophes. The oceanic floor all around the globe bears witness that the oceans of the earth were the scenes of repeated violent catastrophes when flows of lava and volcanic ash covered the precipitously rising or falling bedrock and tidal waves raced against continents. That would have been awesome to see. The bottom of the seas and oceans also contained evidence that the earth was showered with meteorites on a very large scale. It has been discovered during the initial period of an estimated 100 million years, the land was mainly browns and greens of trees and ferns. It lacked the bright colors of today. Later, however, other colors began to appear, making the earth very beautiful. Page 103. Scientists believed during that time the seven continents were joined together. And 65 million years ago, scientists believe, after ruling the entire Earth for over 150 million years, the dinosaurs became extinct. And said, why? Why? Scientists admit they do not know the answer. One theory, of course, among others, is that a Death Star caused havoc in the galaxy above the Earth as it passed through the so-called Oort cloud and sent comets on a crash course toward the Earth. The Oort cloud is an area in space believed to contain billions of comets that travel around the Sun in their orbit. But Genesis 1-2 revealed such a terrible destruction took place on the face of the Earth that it scarred it so greatly that the evidence of it can be seen almost everywhere. We see that when you go through some of the mountain passes and other areas, you see the evidence of it. You see the strata. How it's tilted upward. It's not uniform anymore. And the destructive damage did not stop with the Earth, but it reached up into the starry heavens. From the Sonsino commentary, Jewish commentary, ages may have elapsed between the calling of matter into being into existence and the reduction of chaos to ordered arrangement. The experimental commentary, and I quote, the world which had formerly been a scene of material beauty and order was by some great convulsion, meaning a catastrophe, plunged into a state of chaos and widespread disorder and desolation. The earth became waste and desolate. And the coming down, we'll take some quotes here from Dr. Hay from the Compendium, Volume 2, pages 320 and 21, excerpts from that. And I quote, the original inspired Hebrew text reads, in the beginning God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth had become without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. God created the earth fit for habitation. It was not created a waste. In fact, from the Jewish translation of the Bible, Isaiah 45, verse 18, for thus says he eternally created the heavens. He is God that formed the earth and made it. He established it. He created it. And he created it not in vain or and not a waste, as the Jewish translation has it. He didn't create it a waste. He formed it to be inhabited. The first or pre-Adamic creation was turned into chaotic wreck. Virtually all life perished. And Psalm 104, verse 28 tells us a reason for it. God says, here he says, you hide your face, they vanish. You withdraw their breath, they perish. Of course, they perish by catastrophe and drowning. And return to their dust. That's what did happen on a very large scale at one particular point in time. And going on with his notes, the biblical record of Genesis 1-2 is confirmed by the mysterious break which scientists have found in the geological strata. The strata below the break are the marks of the pre-Adamic world. The whole face of the earth was covered with water. So verse 2 speaks of straightening out of an earth that once or had been already created perfect and had been wrecked long ago. All that Elohim created that week was man and animal life. The rest was or had been already created. Continuing on pages 318 to 322 of Dr. Hay, excerpts, Compendium, Volume 2. Geologists have found that an immense catastrophe had befallen the earth. The ocean depths had suffered a tremendous volcanic upheaval. They also found that the same catastrophe that had struck the ocean depths had also struck the land masses at the same time. Notice that at the same time. On the ocean floors, the world before man had been buried under tremendous volcanic eruptions. The mountains and surface of the earth were altered during this great upheaval. He quoting from the Deep in the Past, pages 267 and 268, where the question was asked, whence came the energy And why should this effect have been concentrated at the beginning of the Upper Cretaceous, that is, marked out by the dying of two birds, dinosaur chalk deposits or chalk beds? He goes on, the facts are plain. There was a singular catastrophe which virtually ended all life between what geologists call the lower and the upper Cretaceous, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. That is the dividing, that's what it means, the dividing line between the world before Adam and the world since the creation of man. So on that bottom of that ocean floor, there is a dividing line. Ours today and down below it is the pre-Adamic world. Of chalk deposits in between. Going on, the strata, which is a horizontal layer of sedimentary rock like a blanket stretched out to sea, normally in a tilted condition. The strata below the break revealed a world entirely different from the world we see about us today. Nowhere in the lower strata does one find fossil man or remains of warm-blooded creatures so characteristic of our world. You know, Adam is called the first man. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man became a living being. So I just do not accept the theory of a prototype of man in that world at that time. Mr. Armstrong never did speak of it in a favorable manner. In fact, I don't recall him ever speaking about it, period. Not that maybe he didn't, but I don't recall his ever doing so. But going on, missing too are the angiosperms, that is, plants having their seeds enclosed in an ovary, such as grasses, oaks, roses, and daisies. Above the break, the strata reveals forms of life vividly described in Genesis 1. There are human remains, many varieties of mammals, birds, and flowering trees. So why the sudden appearance of new kinds of life? What is the meaning of this break in the geological horizon? Is it mentioned in the Bible? Most scientists and historians never look to see. The theologians never stop to investigate, but the facts are plain for all to see. There has been no past evolution of living matter. No evolution. So we find in the recreation, Psalm 104, verse 29, you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renewed the face of the earth. And Genesis 1:28 speaks of the word Elohim said, replenish or repopulate. And God told Noah the same thing. Genesis 1, verse 28, God blessed them, Adam and Eve, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Again, Adam called the first man. So the great God of the heavens and the earth brought all of creation into existence. He created it very beautiful. He intended it to be a real blessing for all of mankind, especially so. And again, perhaps that pre-world, perhaps that pre-world was created and existed for such a long time and destroyed in such a way because of sin, because of Lucifer's sin, so that we might see the enormity of sin and what it brings about, what it brings about in the life of anybody on a minor or larger scale. So we find that in that beginning part of that, Job 38, verses 4 and verses 6 and 7, to Job, God asked, Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Or who laid the cornerstone, completing the creation, when the morning stars sang together and all the suns shouted for joy? And that's the way they were in the beginning, after the earth had been created. They were created first, and the earth was created later, the universe. And God gave them this for their habitation, but they weren't happy with it, and so they tried to take over from God. Speaking of the greatness of God, I just took one comment here. Isaiah 40, verses 12 and 18. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Three-fourths of the land, his land mass. Measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure. weigh the mountains in scales and the hills in balance. To whom will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare to him? God is awesome. He is God. And someday we have the promise we will be too, if we can come out of this world and live his way of life. Coming before us is a time of trouble, such as this world has never seen or ever will again, because of the same thing taking place today as it was at that time. As it was before Noah's flood, as it was with the Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's interesting, just like you find in Genesis 2, where you find the terrible state of the world at that time as a result of the wreckage that Satan had brought upon it. But you find with the Sodom and Gomorrah, and you find as it's believed to be, the Dead Sea covers where Sodom and Gomorrah once existed. A Dead Sea. And that's where it all comes to, dead. If a person goes that way and doesn't turn around from it. So a time of trouble is coming on this, on our age, and before too much longer, as Jesus said, so bad that has never been seen before, ever will be again. But for the elect's sake, then the world won't perish. We know the completion of God's master plan for the salvation of all who want it and prove themselves to the satisfaction of God is coming, a total world of righteousness. Revelation 21, verses 1 to 8. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And the Apostle Peter describes that in 2 Peter 3, verses 13 through 16, I think it is. You can check it out later. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God and prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, meaning the faithless, people who have no real faith in God, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But you know, God says, tells us in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow fat as like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this. You know, and when you look back in history and you realize that from the beginning God sent prophets, Noah was a preacher of righteousness trying to tell the world what was going to happen to it if it didn't repent. And Lot, whether or not he preached or not, but certainly by the way he lived his life, he set an example, the fact that he didn't let himself get involved with the world at that time. But they perished. And so we find that through the ages up to the coming of Jesus Christ, that Christ would send prophets. Prophets warning Israel and all the terrible things that would befall them if they didn't quit sinning. It never stopped them. Maybe it did for a moment in time, but then they'd turn right back to it again. Idolatry, offering their little babies in sacrifice to a pagan god, burning to death in the arms of some pagan idol. And so today we have the same type in the sense of all the abortions. People give their children to death. Prior to this, then you find in Malachi 4, in our time today, that God sent a man that even the churches won't accept. But when you analyze what that man did, what he preached for the 50 years plus of his ministry and how he cried out through those years. We hear the broadcast, we hear the sermons, and know that nobody has done what that man did, what God used him to do. And he tells us in Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven." And Peter describes that again in 2 Peter 3. "And all the proud, yes, and all that do wickedly will be stubble." Well, that's at the end of the thousand-year reign. That is at the end of the hundred-year period of time, I should say, when all the incorrigible wicked are going to be resurrected. They're going to be judged, and then the fire is going to break out. It's going to consume this earth and the heavens and bring it about a new heaven and a new earth. And this is what God is talking about here. "Behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud and all who do wickedly will be stubble, and the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the eternal host. It will leave them neither root nor branch, nothing left of them at all." And so it is in that context, he tells us in verse 4, before it happens. He's telling us all, "Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him to and Horeb for all Israel with its statutes and the judgments." God used Mr. Armstrong to restore those. And then what do we find with the apostate pastor general? At the end of his 9-year tenure, it's all been done away. It's all been done. It doesn't make sense. It's not even logical thinking. Who would want to live in a world to come in a spirit world as like it is today? That's crazy. That's why we find all the terrible problems in this world today, because people have rejected God and they've rejected His laws. They don't want to obey them and they won't obey them. Like Mr. Armstrong said about his sister-in-law, I guess it was, who he proved to her that evolution is not, the world didn't come about in that way. And she said, "Well, you proved it to me, but I still have to go ahead and teach it. I still have to believe it." People won't change. Like the woman told me, "I don't care if Christmas is wrong, I'll go ahead and do it anyway." And it just goes to show the way people think. That's their stubborn, hard heads, and they're going to pay a terrible penalty because of it. So the law was restored with the statutes and the judgment, the holy days, God's law of tithing, and all those many laws. And then he tells us in that context, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the eternal." And we can ask, well, some think, well, you know, I think he's yet to come. Well, what's he going to restore that Mr. Armstrong didn't restore? Doesn't make sense. They don't want to admit it because they're afraid of Mr. Armstrong. They're afraid of him. You read my article this time in the pastors in the Philadelphia Remnant. I mean, I get pretty plain in that. And I show from people, students who have attended their college in United, and they tell them, "Look, if we don't you do your research with Mystery of the Ages, there were too many errors in that. We don't want you to go in that area." You know why they don't? Because they're afraid if people go there, they're going to move away from where they are, and they're going to lose them. No, they're all afraid of him. Not him, personally. They're afraid of what God used him to teach. That's what they're really afraid of. "Yes, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the eternal, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse, like he did with the pre-Adamic world." He let it come to that point. Now, see, now, in our time, let me back up a minute. God let that happen, that great catastrophe, and also we could see the scars of the heavens and the earth. We can see what sin has done. Now, God did not permit Satan to go that far this time in being cast down. He didn't let him do that. See, God has perfect control. He permits what he wants to permit, and he will not permit what he does not want to permit. And so when you read Revelation 12, you find where, yes, he's cast his earth very anger, but he's going to take his anger out on the church. So there's a difference between the two casting downs. one, that first one, to teach us a very, very needed lesson. And what's going to happen to this world afterwards. And that God's going to bring in a new world. Before we're accepted by Jesus Christ to enter that world of righteousness, such as each one of us now will have to prove ourselves through trial, test, and through those to be purified. Get all the dross off of us. In Daniel 12, verse 10, many shall be purified, made white, and refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. In other words, they're going to continue to do wickedly. And they won't understand. Not even Glenn Beck and the others. They don't understand. They won't speak out against abortion. They won't speak out against some of these terrible problems that are existing. No, they won't do that. They'd be thrown off their television station if they were to do that, and they know it. They just won't do that at all. Now, I want to go back just to conclude the sermon. See how much time I've got here. Yeah, I've got a little time. I want to go back and let Jesus Christ himself summarize what we've just gone through. Back in Luke, the 17th chapter. Luke 17. Now, verse 20, now he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. He answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. No, God is spirit. Nor will they say, see here, see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is among you, as it is in the original. It's not within hypocritical people, sinning people. Then he said to his disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. And I can understand that from what John Bowles is saying in his sermon. You know, when the last sermon he gave here, and what he said, you know, the Christ can come at any time. You better get your ticket ready. That's what he said. So I can see where this will be said, too, a little later down the road. He just didn't understand the Bible. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. We're going to know because Revelation 1 says he's going to come in a way that everybody's going to see him, coming with clouds. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, and this time he's talking about it, so will it also be in the days of the Son of Man. Now we know from having read earlier in Genesis 6, we had an overview of that world of then and why God had to destroy it. They ate, they drank, they married wives, that is, interracial marriages. They were given in marriage until the day. See, there came a day when it all ended for them. Until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. And the Bible says that God closed the door. No one could get in. Though probably many of them tried. Likewise, as it was also the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And that day is so much closer. It's so easy for people to think, well, you know, that's out there quite a ways. Well, yeah, it is to a degree. We know the famine disease epidemics, that they have to come to pass. We know that. And perhaps we're already in part of that. When you think about the Elijah, after what he said to King Ahab, and then he was to go by a stream, and he stayed there for a long period of time before it went dry. So the famine, you see, the beginning of it was at the time that Elijah said, but he didn't see the evidence of it for some time. The stream went dry. How long he was there, maybe he could have been there 6 months or a year. It doesn't say. Then God told him, now you go to this place, and you, there you're going to find a widow who's going to take care of you, and where you'll be there with her and her son. And so he was there for the rest of the time. So by this I'm saying the famine could already be in stages, and part of it without our realizing it. And I've seen the real evidence of it. We know then, once God's people go to the place of safety, there was 3.5 years before the coming of Christ. So we know there's a little time yet, perhaps maybe up to 5 years or more, that once things really get underway. But you can't put it off 15, 20, 25 years like some people want to believe. So they build their colleges and do all this and that, and their structures, and they think, you know, they do that with the thinking that that time is somewhere way out there, and it just isn't that way. Things can happen overnight, just like the wall came down in Berlin. Overnight, it's shocked, even surprised the president of this country and other leaders as well, that he came down overnight. Overnight. So when these things happen, they can happen so very quickly. Very, very quickly. So, brethren, having witnessed through historical evidence of the destructive consequences of sin and supported by Scripture, we need to try more than ever. Try harder to come out of this world and live righteous lives. It's tough to live in a world. You live in a world that virtually you're living all by yourself, so to speak, because of the way you live your life. Very few people live the way you do, and we're all scattered like salt here and there. God knows who we are, and He's there with us, and now He's the one that really counts. So there's little time yet left to prove ourselves, and we must do it to be accepted by Jesus Christ and become a part of His total righteous world. We have to remember, Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 13, "He that endures to the end shall be saved," regardless of how long we've been blessed to be in the church. We're not there yet. And realizing the fact that we're mortal human beings, unless we meet all these tests and we overcome them, then we can fall away and become part of the ashes under the soles of the feet of the righteous in time to come. So, brother, we've got to endure. We've got to be faithful to God. We've got to trust Him and live our lives without sin. I know we all sin, but we don't practice sin. We sin unintentionally, and when we do, we repent of it. Ask God for His forgiveness, and God does forgive us. So, brother, we have the lessons of history to show the horrible consequences of sin, and we don't want to perish like they did.
Thank you, Mr. Billingsley. Very good. Good knowledge. We need it. I know I need it. Okay, brother, are you ready? It looks like you're all ready. Let's go to page number 41 for the last hymn. And after this, who was it? Mr. Jerry Fields will come up here for the closing prayer. Page 41. In Thy loving kindness, Lord. Yeah.
remain standing for the closing prayer by our deacon, Mr. Jerry View.
One thing I wanted to mention before the closing prayer that I didn't know at the time when I made the announcements is this man right here, Mr. Pete Chavarria, and his wife are celebrating 53 years of marriage. 55 years of marriage. So congratulations. Now if you'll bow your heads. Almighty, great, and wonderful Creator, you were the one that was there at the very beginning and devised your awesome plan, Father. And in spite of every obstacle that evil has thrown against your plan, Father, you will persevere. And you've called us to do likewise and to hold fast to your plan and to the purpose of what you created us for. Help us, Father, to learn from the histories of man and all he has done and the evils and the influence that he has from the one that has tried to influence every man and destroy him and destroy us all if he could. Father, help us to fight that. Help us to be aware of it daily. Help us to see and use your word for good, Father, to understand and to know the true purpose and the wonderful future that awaits us all if we hold fast. Help us to do that, Father. Help us to be guided by your word in every way. And we ask now that you will be with us through this week and that you will bless us all and that you will bless the noon meal and help us and protect us through this week. So we commit the service into your hands, thanking you, Father, in Jesus Christ's most wonderful and righteous name. Amen.
Amen.